All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is Brad Woodhouse, Executive Director of Protect Our Care. We have a great day. We have a celebratory day. We have one hell of a lineup, and we have people on very tight schedules. I mean, obviously, we're on this call. You know the news. The Affordable Care Act has been upheld yet again. Was upheld with a really significant majority vote. Clear repudiation of Donald Trump and Republicans' efforts to undermine the Affordable Care Act. But I want to get right into the program because we have people on short time frame, and then at the end we'll obviously open up to questions. So our first speaker is a person who's done yeoman's work on this from the very, very beginning and knows this law inside and out, and there's no bigger advocate in America for this law, former Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius. Secretary Sebelius.
Well, thank you so much, Brad, and I'm delighted to join Protect Our Care, who has done amazing work over the years to make sure that the Affordable Care Act continues to be the framework of healthcare and continues on. I know that some of our greatest allies are joining today, and I just want to take a minute before I have to hop on an airplane to just say it's a very important day for Americans. We're in the middle of open enrollment. What we know is more people than ever before are signing up and reaffirming the importance of both the marketplaces across this country and Medicaid expansion, which has transformed the lives of over 31 million people. I think the decision today will give confidence to folks who may have been hesitant, thinking, my heavens, this law could be struck down at any moment, that they should indeed take advantage of the wonderful improvements made in the ACA in the Biden administration. So I'm thrilled with the decision. I'm thrilled with the activities. I hope we all roll up our sleeves and from now to August 15th, make sure we get the word out loudly and clearly that the ACA is very much alive and well, has incredible benefits for both uninsured and for anybody who signed up in January or February before the new law was passed that give additional benefits. They should take advantage of it, but this is a very, very good day. Thanks so much.
Secretary Sebelius, thank you. Thank you for taking time, and thank you for continuing to do this. I mean, you know, this was a tough row to hoe to get this passed. It was a tough row to hoe to get it implemented, to fight off the Republicans, to get those initial sign-up, you know, periods. And then, you know, the last 4 years fighting Donald Trump's, you know, repeated efforts, both legislatively and in the courts. And you have been there every step of the way, and Senator Casey and Senator Murphy, who I hope will join us, we have done so many calls on the consequences of repeal and this lawsuit that we can finish each other's sentences now. But it all paid off today with this, you know, with this ruling. And just thank you so much for all you've done, and thank you for joining us. And with that, let me turn it over to one of the biggest champions that we have, someone who has worked so hard to preserve, improve, expand, enhance the Affordable Care Act. And in the United States Senate, we call him Senator Medicaid, because Medicaid expansion and Medicaid has been such an important focus for him. And that is Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania.
Hey, Brad, thanks so much for your introduction. I want to commend and salute the work of Protect Our Care. All these years, day after day, month after month, and now year after year, I'll soon be saying decades, I hope not. But thank you for the great advocacy that you've undertaken to protect the Affordable Care Act and to protect and strengthen Medicaid. Look, it's always a good day for America when you have a group of politicians on the far right trying to destroy the Affordable Care Act, and they fail. Now, that's a very positive outcome for the country and the millions of Americans that depend upon quality, affordable health care. So I hope it's time for Republicans. I hope they would conclude in Washington that it's time for them to stop these attacks on the Affordable Care Act and join us in bringing down the cost of health care and expanding coverage substantially. In that vein, I think it's time for us also to make sure that as we move forward beyond the now enacted rescue plan, to make permanent the good changes that were made in the American Rescue Plan to strengthen the Affordable Care Act and to build on the act to expand coverage and bring down costs for working families. So all of that is ahead of us, but on this one day, for sure, we can celebrate a victory for families who struggle every day with health care and with making sure that they can cover their children and have the benefit of health care. So thanks to Protect Our Care and all who made this day possible. God bless you.
Senator Casey, thank you. And, I'll never forget in my early days with Protect Our Care coming to present to the Senate Democratic Caucus lunch some messaging about our efforts to fight repeal. We also, I think at that point, had done a poll showing that this would be the dominant issue in the 2018 election. And the very first person who popped up to ask a question, to make a point, and I know it was about Medicaid, was Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, and we have worked hand in glove with you and your team on this issue ever since. And you are so passionate that we just could not have a better champion in this fight than you. I know you have to go now, but I just want to thank you so much for what you have done. And you have also been a leading advocate for talking about the politics of this. I mean, this was the number one policy priority of Donald Trump, and he lost, and Republicans lost. But Republicans, as they do, they continue to follow Donald Trump, and some are already out today saying that they're not giving up on this effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So they want to keep going down this well-worn losing political path, but let them do it if they want. They'll continue to lose legislatively, legally, and politically, but we're going to keep fighting for affordable health care for the American people, and you're at the forefront of that fight. So thank you.
Brad, thank you. And we've got 1.1 million people in our state that have benefited from it, so we got 1.1 million reasons to be happy today.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. I know you also are in a tight time frame, so I'm going to let you go. And then next up, unless Senator Murphy has joined us, Senator Murphy, are you on? We may be joined by Senator Murphy. I know he's also, everybody's on a tight time frame. I want to introduce Andy Pincus. Andy is a scholar, a legal scholar. He's been a legal advocate for this issue. He's been in this fight supporting the Affordable Care Act. I think he could have predicted the outcome. In fact, I'm sure he has on many calls predicted the outcome today of this entirely bogus, politically motivated lawsuit. This was a lawsuit that was cooked up after John McCain went thumbs down on repeal. It was cooked up on a crazy legal theory. It went, they shot for a judge who would uphold their position at the trial court level. But I think he could have predicted this outcome, and he has been there every step of the way as a legal advisor, a legal scholar, and a advocate for the Affordable Care Act. Andy Pincus.
Thanks, Brad. It's always great to work with Protect Our Care. And I'm going to delve a little bit into the court's legal rationale, not too much, but just to frame what the court's done and then make some observations. So the court decided that the plaintiffs here, the individuals and the states, didn't have legal standing to file a lawsuit. It sounds technical, but standing is the critical first step for any lawsuit to get into federal court. The Constitution says it has to be a case or a controversy. And so what the court was saying today is this case was illegitimate from the outset. What is required is a real-world injury that's traceable to the alleged unlawful conduct. And the court here basically rested its decision on the common sense conclusion that a tax that's set at zero can't harm anyone and is unenforceable, and therefore there's no harm and nothing to enjoin. It said that about the individuals, that they weren't forced to buy insurance, so they couldn't argue that their payment to premiums was somehow related to a zero tax that the government can't enforce. And it said that about the states, that they couldn't link any of their claimed injuries, expenditures, and other things to a law that can't be enforced against anyone. So a pretty common sense conclusion. I think the bottom line here is that the court's decision sends a message. If people remember the NFIB case, the Affordable Care Act was upheld 5-4. In King v. Burwell, it was 6-3. In this case, it was 7-2, with even Justice Thomas, who's certainly been critical of the Affordable Care Act in those two prior decisions, joining the majority in rejecting the plaintiff's claim. So I think you have to look at that increasing support and say that the court is making clear that the time for legal challenges to the Affordable Care Act is over. The other thing that I'd point out is the court at the end of its opinion doesn't say generally what it usually says, we remand for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It remands with instructions to dismiss the case. Again, I think that's a significant message about the court's view of this lawsuit.
Andy, thank you. You have been a partner in this, all the way, and of course, going back well before the work you've been doing with Protect Our Care. And I think you're right. Obviously, you're right that the breadth of this decision, the size of the majority, obviously remanding to dismiss, I think underlies what a bogus lawsuit this was. And hopefully that this will be, the end of the line of these efforts to get these cases up to the Supreme Court and having people who otherwise could be working on policies could spend more of their time on policies to expand care, to improve care, to lower drug costs. We could spend time with that instead of chasing bogus partisan lawsuits, which I think in many ways were meant to play to Donald Trump, were meant to play to his ego, were meant to satisfy his long, searing desire to undo. I mean, remember the animating principle of Donald Trump's political career was trying to undo what Barack Obama did, and he wanted to do nothing more than this. And after he failed in repeal, this lawsuit was cooked up, and he failed here. And hopefully, this will be the end of the line. And look, I think if the polling shows the Republicans were smart, they'd figure out ways to do more to provide affordable health care to people instead of trying to rip it away. I'm not gonna substitute my judgment for saying that Republicans are smart, but if they were, that would be a lot better way to go, it seems, than what they've been doing. With that, I want to thank you for participating on the call. Do we have Senator Murphy on? Okay. As we wait possibly for him, let me just lay down a few remarks, and then I want to turn it over to my partner in crime. This has been a decade-long effort of Republicans to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Of course, they tried to stop it from passing. They tried to frustrate its implementation. They tried to discourage people from enrolling in it. If you can believe that, they held dozens and dozens when they controlled the House. Dozens and dozens of repeal votes. In the House, they held repeal votes in the United States Senate, and then this effort was supercharged when Donald Trump became president. But here's what happened: when they were firing with real bullets, when Barack Obama wasn't sitting in the White House and could veto anything they did on repeal, when they started firing for real, this is what happened: they lost repeal in 2017. Donald Trump and Republicans lost repeal when John McCain put thumbs down. 2017 elections were fought out in Virginia, New Jersey gubernatorial elections over ACA's Medicaid expansion. Republicans lost. 2018, the entire election was about pre-existing conditions and them being at stake in the lawsuit that was just dismissed and the ACA upheld by the Supreme Court. That was the very topic that hit in that election, was the issue of pre-existing conditions. They lost the House. 2019, Medicaid expansion was the issue in gubernatorial races, in off-year gubernatorial races in Louisiana, Kentucky. They lost. The Democrats won. Healthcare combined with the pandemic was a huge issue. First of all, it was the animating issue of the Democratic primary. It was the first question in every debate for the first half a dozen debate. It was discussed the longest, and it was a very important issue in Republicans and Donald Trump losing the White House, failing to take back the House, and losing the United States Senate. And again, in the runoffs in 2021 in Georgia, Medicaid expansion, part of the Affordable Care Act, was a very important issue in Republicans losing two Senate races in 2021. And then in 2021, Republicans are handed Donald Trump, and Republicans are handed a resounding defeat at the Supreme Court. And the politics and the polls show that if they continue to do this, they are likely to continue to lose elections on this issue, because our polling and almost all polling that we've conducted shows, particularly now that the pandemic is beginning to be in the rearview mirror, healthcare costs, healthcare access, the cost of drugs are still the number one issue that the American people want dealt with. Republicans want it dealt with by saying, screw it. You know, we'll take away the ACA. We'll take away the protections for people with pre-existing conditions. We don't care about reducing drug costs in any meaningful way. But that is where we are. That is where we are in 2021. And Democrats now have an opportunity to use the momentum out of this to do big and bolder things. Now, there are a bunch of Republican AGs that went after this. They're now in the political crosshair. There are a bunch of Republican governors that supported this lawsuit. They're now in the political crosshairs. People like Ron Johnson and Marco Rubio are up for re-election. They're going to have to answer questions about, are they going to continue to try to take health care away from the American people? So there are a lot of political implications here as we go forward. But today is a victory for the American people, for 135 million people who get protections for discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, 31 million people who are covered by the Affordable Care Act, the most ever. I want to shout out, by the way, I don't want to get off this call without making a big congratulations to Democratic Attorney Generals and a former Democratic Attorney General and now HHS Secretary Javier Becerra, who, as AG of California, really led this fight to make sure this lawsuit was defeated, as it was, and that ACA was upheld. And I want to do a shout out to him. Now I'll introduce somebody who is a visionary in this work, because coming out of the 2016 defeat, Leslie Dott founded Protect Our Care to do everything we could to thwart repeal. And a lot of people look at him cross-eyed when he came around with this idea, like, how are we going to do that? They have the House, they have the White House, they have the Senate. But he is dogged, he is relentless. He set up a system of state teams, a war room, ads, advocacy, grassroots, grass tops, millions of dollars in message development, and we beat repeal. And now we're doing everything we can to enhance the Affordable Care Act. He had that vision. He is my partner in this. He is the chair and founder of Protect Our Care, Leslie Dott.
Thanks, Brad. People still look at me crosswise, so I got to figure something about that. But look, 135 million Americans are happy today. This was a complete repudiation of the last 10 years of the Republican war on healthcare. The ACA is here to stay, and as President Obama used to say, it is woven into the fabric of America. The law is more popular than ever and saving lives every day. Republican, Democratic, and independent voters in red states and in blue states now want Congress to build on the ACA to lower drug prices, lower the cost of health care premiums, expand coverage, and address racial inequities. And that's what President Biden, Democrats in Congress, and certainly Protect Our Care are working hard to get done. And I think this lawsuit's a clear message to Republicans that it's time to get on board. It's time to move forward and stop the ideological wars. The agenda moving forward, I think, could not be clearer. Reduce the cost of healthcare premiums by making the provisions of the American Rescue Plan permanent. Expand Medicaid coverage for the millions of Americans who live in Republican-controlled states who refuse to do the right thing by creating a federal solution to Medicaid. Reduce the cost of prescription drugs by giving Medicare the power to negotiate so that Americans don't have to pay 2 to 3 times more for the same drug as people do in other countries. And address the systemic racial inequities in healthcare, beginning by addressing maternal health issues through a series of pending regulations. President Biden's gotten us off to a great start. From the first day in office, he's been working to protect and build on the ACA. So far, 1.2 million Americans have signed up because of the special enrollment period that the president put in place. Because of the rescue plan, the administration has reduced the cost of health care premiums for 9 million Americans. We're looking to make that permanent. And in the president's joint address to Congress, he said very clearly that he wants Congress to give Medicare the power to lower prescription drug costs, to do that this year, and to use that money to strengthen and expand the ACA and to strengthen and improve Medicare benefits. All these provisions enjoy broad bipartisan support amongst the American people. We have a once-in-a-generation chance to reduce costs, to expand coverage, improve Medicare, and address these inequities. The American people have made their desires clear at the ballot box, and they've given Democrats control of the House and the Senate and the White House. The American people deserve and expect that the ACA will now be improved, and we will move forward in making health care right in this country and not just a privilege. And I'll turn it over to Brad and thank him for being an incredible partner and leader in this effort. Thanks, Brad.
All right, thank you. I know we've been going for a while, so let's, Whitney, let's tee up questions if there are any.
Yeah. At this time, if there's questions for any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you'd like to ask a question to any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone. And we're going to give folks just a minute here. All right, our first question is going to come from Lisa at the New York Times. Lisa, you are live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing the call. Brad, I think I've been struck by that we haven't seen more Republicans coming out saying they're promising to fight on, things like that. Have you seen any of those kinds of comments, and what do you make of that?
I saw one. I think somebody on the phone can correct me because we've been kind of flying around, but I think it was a member, was it Nancy Mace, I think, came out, was asked, was asked on the, on the air. I think what we'll wait to see is, and obviously, where I think you're going to see people really pressed are Republicans who are up, and I can imagine what Ron Johnson might say, Marco Rubio, might say. I think they'll be the next in line to get questions. McConnell will have to do a press conference at some point. Nancy Mace is the only one. She said, yes, I hope we figure out another way to repeal the Affordable Care Act. I'm not quoting her, but that was her roughly what she said. And as we see more of that, we'll be sure to, we'll be sure to flag it. It'd be interesting to see what McConnell says. I mean, sometimes he's, a little bit of a political, realist. I can imagine Kevin McCarthy will double down because no one is a bigger bootlicker for, of Donald Trump than him. And, this is not something that I think Trump will ever let go, no matter where he is in the political sphere. But Nancy Mace is the only one we've seen so far, unless somebody else on the call has seen something different. Okay. Lisa, anything else?
Yep, our next question is going to come from Mary Ellen McIntyre at Roll Call.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this. I wanted to sort of ask, you know, obviously this lawsuit, the focus on pre-existing conditions has been such a main part of Democrats' political messaging in the healthcare space and just overall the last couple of cycles. Do you guys think that, you know, kind of by the end of this lawsuit, Democrats sort of, you know, not having that really easy healthcare message to focus on lose anything, or are you, can you easily kind of pivot to other health issues since this is still such an important issue with voters?
So Brad, maybe I could say something here for a second. Yeah. Well, I think actually what the Congress Democrats are poised to do now in Congress is in a sense even more popular, or as popular as the ACA, as the pre-existing conditions. So 85% of Americans want to see the price of their drugs reduced. They want to see their premiums reduced. They support Medicare negotiations for lower drug prices. So, and all of these measures are uniformly opposed by Republicans. Not a single Republican voted for the premium reductions in the rescue plan. Republicans have been opposed to Medicare negotiations. Republican governors have led the fight against Medicaid expansion. These issues poll incredibly well, and they poll right at the, not only are they immensely popular, but they're the highest priority for voters for Congress. And reducing the cost of health care is an issue that every American understands and every American grapples with. It is it's both an economic issue and a life and death issue. It is the quintessential kitchen table issue. People understand it. They fight against those costs every day in their own lives. So I think that there's a, when the Democrats have the opportunity and will take it to lower these costs, and that's a very, very clear message and a stark contrast with Republicans headed into the next election.
All right. Our next question is going to come from Jesse Hellman at Modern Healthcare. Jesse, you are live.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. I have a question for Senator Casey. I'm not sure if he's still on the line.
He dropped. He had a, I think they had a vote called. But if you want to, if the question applies to us, or if we, you know, if you want to state it, and we'll, his staff is, I know, listening in, so they can get back to you.
I was just looking for an update on home and community-based services. I know that was a part of the ACA, and as we're talking about building on the ACA after this court case, I was kind of looking for an update on the project that he's working on with that.
Okay, Ann, can you make that? We'll have Ann Schaap, our communications director, make that connection with his staff to you. I'm sure you know how to do it yourself, but and I know they're listening, listening on the call, so they will have heard that, and we'll try to get you. We'll make sure you get an answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, perfect. Whitney.
All right. Yep. Our final question is going to come from Amy Lotvin at Inside Health Policy.
Yeah, hi, everyone. Also, thank you for doing this. Great. I have a question for Mr. Pincus, if he's still on the line.
Yep.
I just wanted to talk about or get your thoughts on just with the decision, is there any way that some states could figure out a way to get standing and return to the court?
I have the same question.
Well, you know, people can always try and file a lawsuit, but I think the 7-justice majority is pretty clear on the inability of the states to claim any injury based on either directly from this zeroed out toothless tax or indirectly. Part of the state's claim was there were some other provisions in the bill that they claimed were tied to the zeroed out tax, and that those provisions were injuring them, and therefore they could challenge the tax. The court squarely rejected that argument. There was an argument that was advanced late in the day by the Trump administration in order to try and give individuals standing. But I think the reasoning of the, which the court didn't address because it was raised too late, but I think the reasoning of the majority's opinion will make it very difficult to go down that road as well. So, you know, people can always file a lawsuit, but as I said, 546372
there's a real message there about the Supreme Court's willingness to tolerate these kinds of lawsuits.
Great. That, I was actually going to ask that question if somebody didn't ask it. Like, how do they do this again? And that is very reassuring. Thank you, Andy. Whitney, I think you said that was the final question.
Yep.
Okay. Do either of our remaining speakers have anything to say as we close?
Nope.
Okie dokie. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining. This is an important day, an historic day. If anybody else is left to listen, I just think there's a whole lot of people to congratulate. First of all, the American people, because they have access to the law, the most popular it's ever been. It's a law that they want. They want to see it succeed. And you know, congratulations to all the leadership that brought this here. President Biden, former President Obama, Speaker Pelosi, former Senator Reid, Senator Schumer, and all of the advocates. I mean, it's the advocates that have been out fighting tooth and nail, the teams that in a more recent history that Leslie put together all across the country that stopped legislative repeal, that lifted the consequences of Supreme Court repeal. And now we forge ahead and build on this law, lower costs for the American people, make protections for pre-existing conditions rock solid, lower the cost of prescription drugs. And I guess the last thing I'll say is the ACA is here to stay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.